Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Dix. In 2014, Masayoshi Son, the founder of SoftBank, revealed Pepper, a 4-foot-tall humanoid robot that could talk, answer questions, and perform a variety of pre-programmed actions. Pepper had a tablet sticking out of its chest to display visual information to the person it was communicating with. Over the last decade, thousands of these little robots were sold around the world and reprogrammed to become everything from front desk receptionists to tour guides to waiters. Most of these installations were experiments, cute demos, and a sneak peek of what might be possible in the future. Developing for the Pepper platform was essentially the same as writing an Android app. As this was 10 years ago, Pepper's natural language capabilities were intrinsically limited. It was roughly as capable as the chatbots or smart speakers of the day. It could translate a user's commands to text and search for keywords to try to determine if the user had uttered any of its trigger phrases, but that was it. This was rudimentary mid-2010s language processing, nothing to get too excited about. But a couple years ago, just as the Pepper project was winding down and SoftBank was sunsetting the platform, NLP saw some major advancements in rapid succession. Transformers, then foundation models, then ChatGPT. In light of these developments, a few researchers from France and Poland asked themselves, how can we get this new technology into Pepper? At this point, Pepper is, for all intents and purposes, deprecated. It's like a legacy codebase. It might receive critical patches in the future, but the authors couldn't reasonably expect SoftBank to roll out a version of Pepper with onboard foundation models anytime soon. So they decided to do it themselves. This is the story of what they tried, what worked, what didn't, and the system design and architecture of the software they built. We're also going to review the qualitative results they obtained when they put the final product in the hands of real users. The first thing to know is that the authors weren't starting from scratch. In previous work, the second author had already built a, quote, multi-platform intelligent system for multimodal human-computer interaction, end quote. This is reference 27 in the paper. You can think of their previous work as a framework that could run on top of Pepper's APIs to make it easier to build fully functional applications. Here's what that framework looked like. At its core is the Naoki SDK. That's N-A-O-Q-I SDK. This is the name of the APIs that SoftBank exposes for the Pepper robot. If you want to get Pepper to say something or print something to its screen or take in visual inputs or audio inputs, etc., you do that through Naoki. The authors added an MQTT broker in front of these APIs. This is a queue, a pub-sub mechanism that will buffer the requests being sent to Naoki. The queue becomes the only part of the system that directs Naoki. All other parts of the system put tasks in the queue instead. Then there's logic that relays the queued requests to Naoki asynchronously. At the next layer up from the queue sits three distinct parts of a distributed application. One, the main module and the libraries that it invokes directly. Remember, the primary thread starts life as an Android app that is running on the tablet that's sticking out of Pepper's chest. So this main module is written in Kotlin, compiled in Android Studio, and then deployed to the tablet. The module consists of two pieces, a behavior planner and decision logic. Two, a cluster of microservices written for the edge. They call these the close services. These services could be running on a CDN's edge platform, or they could be running on a fog node, or really any computer nearby. These services are effectively the back end of the system, handling the heavy logic, processing inputs, and determining the right outputs for Pepper. Three, third-party services, which the authors call the cloud services. Initially, when they conceived of the system in their last paper, they didn't need any cloud services. The back end, the close services, were all they needed. But as you'll see when we dive in a second, that changed with this build. With that system in place, the authors now had the challenge of integrating a foundation model with the goal of, quote, smooth, natural interaction with humans, end quote. Initially, they considered directly integrating a foundation model into either the Kotlin application or the close microservices, but they quickly found out that this was, at the time, untenable. Running a foundation model on the tablet would be extremely slow, and running a large foundation model on the edge was still non-trivial. This has since become much simpler to do in the last few months, but at the time the manuscript was written, it was still quite hard. So instead of integrating a foundation model directly, they decided to integrate with the ChatGPT API instead. The logic in the main module is essentially structured as an event loop. It accepts audio inputs from the user, translates the audio to text, and then uses hard-coded logic to look for the trigger phrases like play a song or tell me a joke. Integrating ChatGPT would change all that. Now the event loop needed to scan for trigger words like it did before, but if no triggers were found, it needed to package up the text, send it to OpenAI, and wait for the response before doing anything else. The issue with this design is latency. You have latency waiting for a response from ChatGPT. You have latency because you don't know that the user is done talking or asking their question until they reach the end of the sentence and pause for a while. You have latency because the robot is multimodal and inputs could be coming in parallel but getting processed sequentially. They attempted to handle these latency issues through liberal use of Kotlin's coroutines. If you've written a language that has something like async await or async IO or go routines or anything like that, this is basically the same idea. It's a design pattern for concurrency. With latency under control, they began to test their new system, but that very quickly hit another wall: multi-language support. As I mentioned before, one of the authors is in France and two are in Poland, and they're creating this research in English, so switching between languages is only natural. But as they were testing the system, they realized it couldn't handle this kind of switching very well at all. There was a default language set in Pepper's configuration, in this case, English. If an author would prompt it in French, the system would ingest the request, send it to ChatGPT, and receive a text response all in French. But Pepper's built-in text-to-speech engine would then speak French aloud using English pronunciations and intonations. So the French being spoken by Pepper sounded terrible. Keep in mind, the author's overarching goal was for Pepper to have smooth and natural interactions with humans, so this bug needed to be fixed. They found a solution in Google's ML Kit. They set up a pre-processing step that sent pieces of the user's request to ML Kit to identify the language being spoken. Then, when they sent the text to the text-to-speech engine, they could specify the language with that request, which would override the default language. That way, when Pepper was speaking the response aloud, the intonations and pronunciations would actually be correct for the language Pepper was speaking at the time. With all that fixed, they hit yet another wall: noise. You see, Pepper is designed to be deployed anywhere: a busy restaurant, an office, a school, a nursing home, etc. But when Pepper was just scanning text for trigger phrases, the various other noises in the room didn't actually matter that much. Other voices wouldn't confuse Pepper unless one of those other people spoke a trigger phrase. But now, Pepper was actually having conversations, and it couldn't do that effectively unless it could clearly identify the exact words being spoken to it by the user and only the user. To mitigate the effect of other sounds in the room, they integrated a noise suppression library, and it worked fairly well. The last hurdle they hit was in respect to user privacy. Since they weren't running a foundation model on the device, the user's conversation was necessarily being sent to third-party services. They mitigated risk by only communicating over HTTPS and by choosing their service partners carefully, but at the end of the day, this remains a significant challenge for their work. Having finally passed their internal testing, it was time to get Pepper in the hands of users. The researchers were specifically interested in how the users' attitudes towards AI and robotics would change based on their interaction with this new version of Pepper. They decided to use two different surveys for this: NARS, the Negative Attitudes Towards Robotics Scale, and RAS, the Robot Anxiety Scale. These surveys post statements and ask the users to agree or disagree. Statements like, "I would feel uneasy if robots really had emotions." "I would feel very nervous just standing in front of a robot." "I feel that in the future society will be dominated by robots," etc. They pulled together a group of 10 people. Initially they had 20, but half of them didn't finish all the steps, so they only had useful data for 10. They gave each of these 10 both of the surveys prior to interacting with Pepper. Then they gave the person time to speak with Pepper and have an open-ended conversation. After that was over, they administered both of the surveys again. Here are the results. They saw improvements in the attitudes towards AI and robots pretty much across the board. Since their sample size was tiny, 10 people, they ended up running an ANOVA test to check for significance, and then stating the impact as ETA squared. For most of the responses, they found that the experience with Pepper did have a positive effect, that the effect was statistically significant, and that the ETA squared values fell around 0.5 to 0.6, meaning that the effect was large. In the future, the authors want to continue iterating on this. Their next research would likely focus on integrating long-term analytical task planning into the robot and getting GPUs on board so they can run foundation models locally. And who knows? Maybe SoftBank will see the renewed interest in Pepper and breathe new life into this project, or even roll out a new version with LLMs baked in. I guess we'll need to wait and see. If you want to see what Pepper looks like, or read the survey questions, or view architecture diagrams of the software they built, I'd recommend that you download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Digg signing off. See you tomorrow.